This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Drake Neuheisel, we got to spend some time with him this week in the Wedgewood Classic, and he is with us now on the Mick Ultra Pure Gold Hotline. Good to see you again this week, Coach. How you doing?
Yeah, it was another good event. Raised some money for a great cause. Always fun to be in Birmingham. How are you guys today?
Well, we're wonderful. And since you've been on the show, you have become a head coach again, this time with Alliance of American Football, which is coming here to Birmingham. What drew you to this product? Why did you say, I want to get back in coaching and I want to be part of this product?
Well, I tell you, I was at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And Bill Polian grabbed me and said, I got something for you. I want to run it by you, and shared the idea of the Alliance. He told me about Charlie Ebersole and his vision for this game. And, you know, when I started to think about the opportunity to coach again, obviously it's in your blood, so you get excited about it. But when I really started to kind of boil it down to did it have a chance, thinking about Dick Ebersole, who is Charlie's dad, and his knowledge and experience with television, thinking about Bill Polian and his knowledge and experience with pro football, it felt like the perfect deal. I've been, on my own radio show with Sirius XM talking about the spring being vacant. You know, having played in the USFL, I can tell you two things. There are plenty of coaches and there are plenty of players that can put on a show for the fans. The key is, can you get people interested in watching on television? And then they told me CBS, which is my company, right, the company that I work for in the fall, bringing college football. I said, you've got to be kidding me. So then I called CBS. I said, is this okay with you if I do what I'm currently involved with CBS doing in the fall with the SEC package? Is this okay if I continue to do that and then do this in the spring? And they said, we would love you to do both. And so I said, this is as good as it can be. I can't ask for more. And so I jumped in. And then as I jumped in, there came Steve Spurrier along. There came Dennis Erickson along. There came Mike Singletary along. Mike Martz. Michael Vick's going to be coordinating the offense for Brad Childress in Atlanta. It just got better and better. And now we have Tim Lewis there in Birmingham. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for a lot of guys who still have coaching in their blood. It's a wonderful opportunity for a ton of players who want to prove that they can still play and get another opportunity to maybe get to the NFL. And we're all about getting them those kind of opportunities to transition to that deal. I didn't find any bad news, tell you the truth, zero in the way of bad news. And we're done before the beginning of May. So there's still a summertime for us who are crowding the back nine of life, if you will.
Rick, and you got a general manager yesterday, a guy that we know extremely well, and Phil Savage, and you mentioned the Senior Bowl earlier. How well do you know Phil?
Well, Phil and I worked together at UCLA. So when they told me that all these teams were going to be owned by the league and it was going to be up to the head coaches to make the decisions about staff and general managers, I said, well, I got a guy. So I called Phil and he wanted to, weigh it to determine, how it would fit with his Senior Bowl responsibilities at that time. But Phil was the first guy I thought of. Phil and I worked together at UCLA. He came with Homer Smith when Homer came back to UCLA from Alabama. I think the world of Phil. I think anybody who's ever met Phil knows his knowledge of the game, his tireless efforts to find talent. So it's a great start for the Alliance of Arizona to have Phil Savage in line. And here's the other great news. Phil wants to help coach. So we're going to have a great time together.
Rick Neuheisel's with us. We can't wait for the Alliance to learn more about it and the players and our franchise here in Birmingham. And we're excited that Rick's still going to be part of the SEC on CBS as well. At the Wedgewood event the other night, the Wedgewood Blue Dinner, you had a chance to continue a tradition of interviewing a football legend, and you sat down with Steve Spurrier. I'm always fascinated where I learn something new in the interviews. Was there anything you learned from Steve Spurrier in preparing or conversing that surprised you a little bit about the SEC legend?
Well, I've always been amazed by his recall, his ability when you bring up a game that, you know, just one of many in a career that obviously is, as you mentioned, legendary. How he can come back and tell you exactly what all details went into that game, what he remembers about calling the last couple of plays or what have you. And it was no different the other night in remembering the different games through the era. Now, the Alabama fans there, as you remember, wanted to talk about that 92 championship game. He immediately pivoted to some others that had a little more favorable outcome for the Gators. But always a fun guy. I've spent a lot of time with Steve Spurrier. And what he really likes to remember is the times that he beat me on the golf course, which I can tell you right now are not too often. But he has had his day in the sun with me, and I have to sit and relive it over and over and over again.
Now, Rick, I couldn't tell if you guys were just having fun or if it was legitimate. Is it true that just Steve Spurrier and your mother are the only ones on this planet that actually call you Ricky?
100% true. 100% true. It is Steve Spurrier and my mom who call me Ricky. And as a matter of fact, it's okay. If there were a third, I would be bothered by it. But no, it's just, it rolls off their tongue nicely, and it seems to fit.
That's vintage Spurrier, because our mutual friend Tom Luganbill, everybody calls Luganbill Lugs, everybody I know, except for Spurrier, who calls him Lugie. Nobody else calls him Lugie except for Spurrier. But he's, yeah. And Luganbill says, like you, well, what am I going to do, correct him?
Exactly. Just kind of roll with it. Just kind of roll with it. It's a lot of fun. But it was nice of him to make the trip over and to spend some time. And you can tell he still loves college football, can't you?
Absolutely.
He really enjoys it. And it was fun for the Alabama faithful to get a chance to hear from the ball coach.
Coach Rick Neuheisel with us for a few moments. Sirius XM CBS head coach as well of the Arizona Alliance team and the Alliance of American Football. I want to ask you another college question. Yesterday, the NCAA says they are going to allow players to compete in at least four games without losing a red shirt. I think this is amazing news for everybody involved. Give me ways this impacts the game, Coach. From a coaching perspective, how big of a news item was this for college football coaches?
In 1997, as a head coach at Colorado, I suggested this back to the coaches. And everybody looked at me like I had a third eye. Everybody looked at me like, what are you saying? I said, because here's what happens. We have all these programs, and there was always the rule in place where a kid could get hurt and get his year back as long as he hadn't played in more than four games. There was always that rule. Well, with that rule, there were two other pieces that had to go along with it. Number one, he had to be hurt for the rest of the season. He couldn't even be able to practice. And it had to be verified by medical personnel. So when somebody got hurt early in the season and you decided you wanted to save him because, hey, he could get – you just kept him not practicing. And it was, like, silly because the kid could come back and practice, but you wanted to save his year. So all of a sudden he wasn't practicing and you're going, this is ridiculous, because you needed some doctor to be able to sign it. There were programs that had doctors more willing to sign that document than others. And I said, why are we putting this into the hands of who has the best doctors in terms of who will sign this deal? Why don't we just say kids can play up to 3 to 4 games? Why don't we just let them do that and still have their redshirt year? So it doesn't matter if the games are at the beginning of the season or at the end of the season. Too often kids, and we can go back and go through any team you want and talk about guys who had to come out of their redshirt year with like 2 games to play. It's a painful decision for the coach to have to bring a kid and say, okay, you have to play now because you're our best chance to win. We're on a championship run, but you're going to lose your freshman year because you have to play in games 11 and 12. So I brought this up. There were a number of guys who agreed with me, but it, as is always the case with the paranoia that exists in the coaching world, that no one had taken the time to figure it out, so they weren't going to go along with it. What I think has prompted this move was this move by kids in bowl games now not to play. The Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette decisions, Derwin James decisions not to play in their team's bowl games at season's end. Everybody's going, well, how are we going to make bowl games exciting if the stars aren't going to play? Well, one way to make them exciting is if the freshmen who haven't played at all can be a part of those games. And talking about games that are not, you know, championship caliber. If all of a sudden you get to play young kids and can plug them in and all that kind of stuff, I think it becomes very exciting. And then that idea of extra practices and extra opportunities is really meaningful, because you got a lot of your roster getting to play maybe for the first time. So I think it's a great rule. It helps coaches at the end of the season when injuries become part of the deal. And it certainly helps the freshman kid who now knows he can play a little bit and still have plenty of time to get all of his eligibility in.
Rick, a major problem for Nick Saban. He's got two elite quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. This is obviously a subject we've touched on a bunch, and it will continue to be a hot subject all the way up until they kick off against Louisville. How do you think this ultimately plays out? And you being an offensive guy, a guy that's been really good with the quarterbacks, how would you handle a situation like this?
Well, I quarrel with you about calling it a major problem. I call it it's under the heading great problem to have, right?
That was me being tongue in cheek.
Yes, understood. Both those guys are exceptional players. They probably play a different brand of offense, so you can change speeds, if you will, when one or the other is in the game. It is hard for me to imagine that Tagovailoa goes back to the bench after the sensational second half that he played in the championship game. I mean, he just brought to life an offense that was down. Now, that was against Georgia. That offense obviously wasn't down all year, and that's why Jalen Hurts is 26-2. But there is no question that Tagovailoa is a better passer. And as a better passer, he involves all those young receivers, the Ruggs, the Judys, the Smiths. Those kids all become much more viable as pieces of that offense, and for Mike Locksley, that's what he's going to want. That means Jalen Hurts has a decision to make. Is Jalen Hurts going to be a teammate and have a package that they insert where he goes into the games and all that stuff? And we've all seen, based on his performance in the second half, just watching from the sideline and the euphoria he still experienced with the championship, that he is a team kid. The ultimate decision now, and you hear from his father and all that kind of stuff, is whether or not he thinks he needs to go someplace else to be a quarterback. And that'll be one of those things that is massaged. But at the end of the day, I can't imagine a scenario, unless there's an injury, where Tagovailoa is not the quarterback at Alabama.
Rick Neuheisel, a guy you have seen before with a guitar on the set there with the SEC on CBS. You had a chance the other night to play with Taylor Hicks. What's your favorite genre of music?
I'm a Eagles, Zach Brown, you know, three chords and the truth type of guy. That's all I got. And it fits into my wheelhouse because I only know three chords. But being with Taylor Hicks the other night, it was fun because it that's what it sounds when a guy can sing. So that was a kick. But I enjoy music. It's incredible how many people sit there and tell me they enjoy listening to my music, because every time I start to pull the guitar out of the case at home, my wife says, "Really? Really? You're going to do that again?" And so it's not a universal thing, but it's been fun. And I don't know, somehow, some way, it's distinguished me from the rest of the pack, I guess.
Coach Rick Neuheisel. Coach, thank you for the time. It's always great talking with you.
Good to be with you guys. Have a great morning, and congratulations to the Wedgewood.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19!
The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
But again, that was awesome.